What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's 5 o'clock.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Whoa! Guns it. Caught. Touchdown Atlanta in the end zone. Caught. Touchdown. You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. My man Mark Zeno is in for Mike, who's out on vacay. I think his surprise on this roster, as the Falcons have put out their official 53-man roster, is quarterback Taylor Heinicke. Now, I don't want to be the guy that says, I told you so, but I told you so. Taylor Heinicke had a subpar exhibition season, right? And you say, okay, well, what's the value in keeping him? The Falcons had until 4 o'clock to cut the roster down. They're not the only team. Everybody around the NFL, and we'll talk more about this coming up. But the Falcons now have another week to make sure that everything is fit and under the salary cap, and they can also add 16 players to the practice squad, which is something, Zeno, you talked about, which they'll scour the wire and see what's going to happen. But the Falcons started their cuts by releasing 13 players on Sunday. That included John Paddock, the quarterback. Then today, obviously, you see what's going on. Now, DeMarco Helms, he is set to come back. He's on the short-term injured reserve, so he will be back. But I think when I look at this roster, and I just want to go through it again with you guys, Kirk Cousins, Michael Penix Jr., Taylor Heinicke, your quarterbacks. Running backs, Bijan Robinson, Tyler Algier, Avery Williams, Jace McClendon. Wide receivers, Drake London, Darnell Mooney. What's up, Darnell? Ray McLeod, Kadarius Hodge, Casey Washington. Those are your five wide receivers. Tight end, Kyle Pitts, Charlie Warner, Ross Dwelly. Offensive line, Jake Matthews, Matthew Bergeron, Drew Dahlman, Chris Lindstrom, Caleb McGarry, Ryan Neuzel, Kyle Hinton, Storm Norton, and Javon Gwynn. D linemen. So they kept 9, by the way, offensive linemen. They kept 8 D linemen: Grady, David Onyemata, Taquan Graham, Zach Harrison, Eddie Goldman, Kentavious Street, Rook Aroro, who we drafted, and obviously Brandon Dorlus. Outside linebacker Matthew Judon, we know how that played out. We traded for him. Lorenzo Carter, Arnold Ebiketie, James Smith Williams, and D'Angelo Malone. Inside, you got Caden Ellis, Troy Anderson, Nate Landman, The Hammer, and J.D. Bertrand. And then at corner, A.J. Terrell, Mike Hughes, D. Alford, Clark Phillips, the third, and Antonio Hamilton Sr. I'll stop there because, Zeno, we thought maybe Kevin King might make this team considering how well he was playing in camp. That does not happen. He is also released today. Jesse Bates, Justin Simmons, Richie Grant, and Makai Abernathy are your safeties, along with Young Wei Koo, obviously, and Pinion. Bradley Pinion is the punter. That's the squad. Now, that could change here or there, but that's your team.
Sounds pretty darn good to me. Sounds like at least 10 wins to me. Sounds like an NFC South title to me. I got to deal with injuries and everything else, but as long as they stay relatively healthy, the sky is the limit for this team. I think they could be a 3 seed.
And when you say that, you're saying the third best team in the NFC?
Yeah.
Okay.
If Dallas or Philadelphia falters, and I think one of them will, I'm not sure which one yet, but I believe that there absolutely is a world where there's a path for the Falcons to be a 3 seed.
Yeah, I feel good about this too, as we've been saying. And you guys can let us know, 404-726-0929. The reason is, one, your core has kind of been here. But your core has been missing something. Your core has been missing a quarterback. So the core, and I'm talking about like Algier and even Bijan and Drake, and, you know, you add Pitts to that mix. Jake has been here forever, right? Bergeron, we know he can play. Dahlman's good. Lindstrom's the best at his position. You start talking about your core, Grady back healthy. David Onyemata, we know he can play. Like, there are things about this team that you start to say, all right, I feel really good about. The thing that I didn't know about was the outside linebacker situation, obviously, and now you add Matthew Judon to a crew that I think Arnold Ebiketie is going to take a step. I've been saying this to Mike for a while. Six sacks last year, he should be a double-digit sack guy, especially with that other guy now there in Matthew Judon. So, you know, D'Angelo Malone, I think he's taking a step. The linebacking core, I like. I just do. Caden Ellis, Nate Lamon, I like the linebacking group. And then A.J. Terrell, now let's go get some picks, right? You're already considered one of the best. You got your bag. Let's go get some picks. Clark Phillips, we talked to Clark numerous times throughout camp. He is a baller, man. I've said this. He's a ball-hawking playmaker. So Mike Hughes is going to get his shot. A lot of people are kind of scratching their heads maybe about that because he didn't necessarily, you know, come into camp a guy that, you know, everybody figured, hey, he's going to be the other corner, or at least he'll get significant snaps. That is going to be the situation. Mike Hughes has made this team. They feel really good about him. And now it's time to go to battle. So Jesse Bates and Justin Simmons, guys, we got the best safety tandem in the league, period. What don't you feel good about?
Yeah. I mean, again, the defense still has to prove it.
True.
I mean, it's fair to say that. They've certainly upgraded. They're better. There's reasons to believe why this will be the best safety tandem in the league if healthy. Still got to prove it, right? I mean, there's a lot of things we say on paper at the beginning of a season that don't come to fruition by the end of it. They've got to prove it. It was a problem last year at certain points. It wasn't terrible, but it was a problem last year at certain points. You know, and for those who are still hung up on getting to the quarterback, guys, I don't know that that matters as much as you think it does from the standpoint of you built this team to score. They should be able to outscore everybody. Your defense needs to make one or two stops a game, and that should be enough in theory, right? The way this roster is set up and the way things are executed. Don't ask your defense to be a top 10 defense. Don't ask them to be top 10 in sacks in the NFL. Just be middle of the road. They don't have to be great. This offense is good enough to compensate for the rest. So if they're 16th, 14th in total defense and 16th, 14th in sacks, guess what? They're making enough plays to keep this offense ahead of the chains and continuing to score points.
How much better do you feel right now than we did last year this time? There were so many unknowns about Desmond Ridder, even though you wanted to believe. And by the way, Desmond Ridder was released by the Cardinals today. He doesn't make that squad. So he may get picked up somewhere else. He may get another opportunity. But after being, you know, traded there, he does not end up becoming the backup quarterback to Kyler Murray. That belongs to a guy named Clayton Tune. Not that Tune either, by the way, Zeno. And we got a great tweet who somebody said, are you talking about, and maybe we went to the break and we were laughing because you kept mentioning all these different tunes. And I think it was one of our listeners, DJ Diesel, who said, is he thinking about Adrian Toomes, the villain from Spider-Man Homecoming?
I didn't see Spider-Man Homecoming, but yeah, Tune, it sounds like Clayton Tune sounds like a villain in a comic book. Yeah.
He's the Vulture, by
correct.
The way.
Right.
Mark Zeno, that's the Vulture's real name.
Yeah. So that's why DJ Diesel was like, that's who he's talking about. And we went to break and we were saying, yep, that's him. Either way, how much better do you feel? There's no uncertainty, guys. If you don't think Kirk Cousins can play, you just haven't been paying attention. There's no uncertainty like we had at this
point. From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Point last season. And for me, that feels good. I wanted to believe. I hoped he played better. I wanted to give him a shot, but it didn't work. And unfortunately, that's been validated now by him going somewhere else, and it didn't work. So I feel good about this roster. 404-726-0929. This hour is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Now it's time to get down to business, and I cannot wait. Mark Zeno, we got a full slate of college games. We're going to talk more as we get through the week here about some of the big games coming up, including more on Georgia and Clemson. We'll start to break down some of the things we'll be paying attention to. But we talk about, you know, the season starting Thursday, September 5th. That's Baltimore, Kansas City. That's the big kickoff game. Then we get NFL football Friday night from Brazil, Green Bay, Philly. And then the Falcons play on Sunday against Pittsburgh. And right now, I've been saying this, a lot of question marks with Pittsburgh. I'm not just talking about the quarterback. Their O-line is suspect right now. I don't know even if either one of those guys who starts potentially on the 8th of September, if they're going to be able to protect him. I just don't. I don't even know if that's part of what's going to happen on that Sunday. And we don't know right now if it's going to be Justin Fields, if it's going to be Russell Wilson. It seems like it's going to be Wilson. Either way, they have a lot of things that are going on right now that feel like they're going to be coming in here. And you know, listen, I could be completely wrong, but I feel like they're going to be coming in here. A lot of stuff happened. And it's not Arthur Smith, by the way. No, everybody wants to blame him.
Can I read you a set of names real quick?
Go for it.
Calvin Austin III, Van Jefferson, Scotty Miller, George Pickens, and Roman Wilson.
That's their wide receiving core.
Oh.
Yeah, not good.
Barbecue chicken.
Not good.
I'm just telling you, they got some things they got to figure out. Outside of who's going to be the quarterback. All right, coming up, strong arm story of the day, guys. Also, we'll go around the yard with Grant McCauley. Big win for the Braves last night. They were raking before that rain came in, but they were able to get the dub. We'll find out what's going to happen tonight with Schwellenbach, as Fried was really good last night. That's on the way in about 20 minutes. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell. You think we're starting our window? I'm talking about the Falcons in their window of potentially getting back to another Super Bowl. It's Dukes and Bell. Mark Zeno's in from Mike. Z, I was just looking at this because when you start to think about the 49ers, and you said, and this is what got me thinking about this, you said you think the Falcons are the third best team in the NFC. You said you don't know who's going to fall off, whether that's going to be potentially the Cowboys who signed CeeDee Lamb yesterday. And I was just telling you, I just saw a video with CeeDee Lamb talking about how happy he is to be at the Star and all this stuff as they get ready for the start of the season, or if it's going to be Philly, who started out 10 wins last year, 10-1. I think they went 1-6 the last 7 weeks of the season. And then, you know, is it going to be the 49ers? The 49ers, guys, have been living in this NFC championship game now going back to, what, 2019, right? In 2020, it was the Packers and the 49ers. San Francisco wins. Obviously, they go to the Super Bowl. The next year, it was Green Bay. In 2021, and then you're talking about the 49ers being the loser against the Rams in 2022. And then, you know, that was the Raheem Morris, by the way, Super Bowl with the Rams and Sean McVay. And then the 49ers lose to the Eagles, which they go lose to the Chiefs. We know that. And then the 49ers lose, or the 49ers win, should I say, against the Lions in the NFC Championship game. Their window's closing. Is ours opening? Do you feel like that is what's going on with this team now that the roster's been set? And how confident are you that we're going to be a playoff team? Everybody I've talked to, Zeno, I've said, this is a playoff team.
Well, two things can be true. In this case, I don't necessarily believe that the 49ers window is closing, but it doesn't mean the Falcons window isn't opening. I think you'd be more inclined to say Dallas's window may be closing, Philadelphia's window may be closing before I'd say San Francisco's. But to your point, none of that matters. The Falcons window is beginning to open. Look, and primarily they're going to have a window for the next 4 years with Kirk Cousins at quarterback. That's it. As long as he's healthy, he's going to play at a high level. He's one of the most effective, high-producing quarterbacks in the league and has been for the last 6 years in Minnesota. And there's no reason, there's nothing to indicate that he won't continue to do the same here in Atlanta.
I'm just thinking about...
You're pausing.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I'm just thinking about... You said both things can be true at the same time, and this is true. I'm just sitting here thinking about that you're not going to get there every year. First and foremost, it just doesn't happen in the NFL. But you can be playing for this and an opportunity to get there every year, and that's kind of where the 49ers have been. That's why I'm saying you're talking about 5 out of the last 6 years where they've been in the NFC Championship game. Now, they won, you know, again, they won it last year. They won it in 2020, but lost it in 2022 and 2023. I'm just saying that, Z, you're not going to get, and by the way, now you've paid all your stars with San Francisco, and I'm just simply saying this is where we're not and where they are as we start the season next week and we start talking about these teams and how it's going to look. And we're just, you know, we're talking here because we feel good about the roster, but they've paid all their stars. They are literally all in. The only guy they haven't paid, and that was by default, really, because they figured Brock Purdy was better than Trey Lance, and we now know that's the case. So they haven't had to pay the quarterback, which means they've taken care of Bosa, you know, all these other
everybody
guys.
Everybody but Trent Williams.
Correct. Well, and they're not going to win without him. We're not there. Like, we're in a really good situation. We were in cap hell, and then now we're not. And now you have slowly decided, hey, this is how we're going to do business, and these are the guys we're going to take care of. But they've done it in a reasonable way. And my only point is, the reason why I said about the 49ers is because of how they have gone about their business with the cap. They are all in. They're paid all their stars. And now it's like, okay, we're living in the NFC Championship game. But we haven't gotten to a Super Bowl and won it yet. And that's been the issue. And I feel like we are in a position to go on a run like this where, to your point, if you feel that good about the quarterback and the skill positions and the defense is better, can you go on a 4 or 5 year run where you're in contention?
Do me a favor, Turtle. Take your headset off for a second. Again, here's why I told you it's like a tale of two things for me, a tale of two seasons. The expectations are really high for the regular season. I don't know what the postseason holds. If you believe in primetime Kirk Cousins being a thing.
Do you?
I think it's all BS. I don't believe it's just
because I've heard that.
He hasn't played poorly. His team has lost games in primetime. That doesn't mean he's played poorly.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Because I've already heard that from some Falcon fans about the primetime games that we have. Like, we got Sunday night Chiefs, right? We got Monday night Eagles to start the season.
Not a thing. Okay. But again, Kirk Cousins has yet to have a playoff win on his resume, right? I can't think of one. Does he have a playoff win? Somebody check me on that.
He's got one.
He's got one?
I believe he's 1-4 in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think it was New Orleans, right? That was I believe it was.
Anyway, point simply being.
1-4, correct, Turtle.
The idea of getting there and then taking steps in the postseason, they're different things, Dukes. They just are. You know, I mean, again, there's...
Did you say to take his headsets off because you're about to be negative?
Well, he's going to assume that was being negative instead of just reading exactly the numbers that are in front of me.
Okay.
So that's not being negative. That's just me actually...
Wrong.
That's me just stating facts as they are. So what I believe they can do in the postseason, I don't know yet. A lot of it will have to do what they match up with, who they are. Are they the 4 seed because they won the division, or if they only get the wild card, are they the 6 seed and then have to go to the 3 seed on the road? Do they have to go to Detroit on the road, where Detroit's really good at home? I mean, I have no idea what the playoffs are going to hold, so I can't begin to predict how much success they'll have as far as...
What if everybody's going to come through here?
Well, that would be nice. That would be nice.
We fared well when that's happened.
Now, there would be a lot of things that have gone awry for many other teams if that's the case.
Well, or the Falcons are just that good.
You can't believe
that?
Well, Zeno, let me ask you a question.
Do I think that 13 wins is possible for this team?
Yes. Do you? Because I do.
I think the schedule says no right now.
In this division, Zeno? You should sweep everybody and maybe split with one team.
Again, you're playing the Eagles. You're playing the Chiefs. You're playing the Cowboys. You have to go to Denver, you know?
Denver? Come on.
You want a dome team to go into Denver in the middle of November? Knock yourself out.
It'll be nice.
And by the way,
it'll be nice.
I will say this much.
December and January is when I'm worried. I will say this
much about dome quarterbacks who go out on the road late in the year. That is a thing. And Kirk Cousins has played in a dome for the last 6 years.
Yes, he has.
He's playing in a dome now. So him going outdoors makes him a different quarterback. That's legitimate.
Zeno, let me ask you a question real quick. Right now, I know things are going to change, but right now, entering week one, how many teams in the NFC do you have head and shoulders above the Falcons?
Two.
That's it, right?
Two.
No,
seriously. That's it.
That's it.
I said, I think they're ceiling.
Yeah.
Okay. I think Dallas is better talent. Dallas is a better quarterback.
You don't trust it, though.
That's the point.
You don't trust it.
I mean, Dallas's singular players might be higher than, you know, Javon Diggs above A.J. Terrell.
Okay.
Dak above Kirk. Micah above anybody else you want to pick on the defense.
Okay.
You know, CD above Drake. Like, they have better players one for one. Do they put it all together? Is the head coach the right guy? Does the offensive line hold up? Like, there's a lot of ifs still in Dallas. That's why I said repeatedly, if Dallas, and same thing with Philadelphia. Jalen is better than, I don't know if he's better than Kirk. He might not be better than Kirk.
I don't know if Dak is either. Dak's playoff record's 2-5.
I'm talking regular season.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Okay.
So, Dak has some questions there. But, again, A.J. Brown better than Drake at this point.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
bigger, they have a better tight end.
Yeah,
they have a
bigger brand at this point. Yes.
Better running game at this point.
Okay.
You know, all those things are if one of those two falters, the Falcons should be there to pick up the pieces and be a three seed.
Yeah, I have two, Turtle, and this is just based, again, on paper. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're just having a conversation. With the roster being set today, you can really start to look at real expectations and what this should look like. And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way, because the season is going to play out, and we'll be in here every single stinking week talking about dubs, L's, why not, what happened. But to sit here and think that we are where we were 3 or 4 years ago, and Wes Durham said this earlier in the show, where he was like, 2017, that roster was really good. A lot of people understood that around the NFL, but because of the way we had lost the Super Bowl, people were still caught up in that. It's a really good team.
And oh, by the way, I mean, you have to assume a split with the Saints, right?
Who?
A split with the Saints. It happens every year.
Sweet.
Like, it should be.
Sweet.
The Saints might be one of the 3 or 4 worst teams in the league this year.
Sweet.
And Dennis Allen might be fired by the time they play that second matchup.
You hear me, right? Sweet.
That may be the difference between being the 4 seed and the 3 seed right there. Right?
Yeah.
That, theoretically, if they split versus sweep.
Sweep.
Okay. You said it. I didn't.
Guys,
coming up.
I'm looking at Kirk and Dak right now. Their career stats.
Similar.
They're identical.
Similar.
They're identical.
Yeah.
Regular season I'm talking about.
And the point is they're both really damn good.
Well, I agree with that. I do.
You know, 7 or 8, whichever order you want to put them in as far as top quarterbacks in the league, they're both right there.
No, I'm with you on that. And Dak's going to get paid regardless if he's in Dallas or not. That's just the reality of where he's at right now. Grant McCauley's going to join us. We're going to go around the yard. What's up with the Braves, the latest, as they continue their series in Minnesota, ironically, as we're talking about Kirk Cousins. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Odyssey.com.
Time for Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Grant, you know what's funny? Yesterday, Zeno, who's filling in for Mike, basically was making fun of Witt. And I think he went 5 for 5 last night, did he not?
He did.
Yeah, I can confirm.
Yeah, and so I was hoping Zeno would make fun of somebody else so tonight that they might go off. This lineup hit last night. You've been saying it for a while about Olsen, who, again, looked really good. Before that rain came in, though, they were able to jump on the Twins.
Yeah,
and, you know, that was the difference, right? I mean, you got up early.
Yeah, I mean, when you get up by that much as well, that certainly sends a message. And other than that rain delay, really, most things went pretty much the way that the Braves would prefer in a game. I mean, I was surprised and pleasantly surprised at that Max Fried was able to come back out and at least help out the bullpen so they didn't have to cover 8 entire innings after that. So that was certainly a good development there, but nothing, I think, tops what you saw at the plate. They jumped on Bailey Ober, and they just kept hitting big home runs as well as just a slew of base hits. And, yeah, Whit Merrifield's right in the middle of that. And since he's come over from the Phillies, I mean, all this guy has done is just get on base. And at that point, or at this point, you feel like, all right, well, if he's going to do that, why not take somebody with his ability to hit his way aboard? And really, he's worked some walks as well, just good on base skills and the ability to run the bases and plug him into the leadoff spot. It's not like you got anything else that you're looking at that you think is the more traditional option. So could be a good opportunity for Whit Merrifield to continue what he's been doing.
Grant, Spencer Schwellenbach starts tonight. We need a nickname for him. Schwellenbach is so long. Schwelly, is that what we call him? Anyway.
That's all it is.
All right. A bad June for the young man as he, you know, makes his debut into the majors, but really through June and especially here, really through July, rather, especially here in August, has sort of settled down into what we feel like is a very competent major league starter and a guy that, you know, I think some of the metrics you look at are better than the actual numbers that we're seeing here from the board with him. But there's got to be a ton of confidence every time he takes him out every fifth day at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's pitched his way into the Braves' plans after initially, I think, just being looked at as maybe a short-term option or somebody who was going to be on that kind of carousel, if you will, of arms that they would try to use as they were looking to, A, fill the spot of Spencer Strider. That certainly, you know, you can't go without saying that. But in addition to that, trying to get rest for guys like Chris Sale and Ronaldo Lopez throughout the course of the first half. But all Schwellenbach has done, I mean, really after that first start, you know, it was really just kind of middle of the road. His next one, he got knocked around by the Red Sox. But since then, air has been far more good than bad. And he continues to just pound the strike zone with five or six different pitches every start. He just does not get himself in a whole lot of trouble. He limits the damage. And in doing so, and it covers a lot of innings, and he does so efficiently. Like, he gets through, you know, five innings on what seems like 60 pitches just about every time he goes out there, and is able to push his way into the seventh inning pretty routinely because of the efficiency that he has and the fact that he's not dealing with a ton of full counts, not just trying to chase nothing but swings and misses. You know, he'll pitch to contact if he needs to, but he also just does such a great job of keeping hitters off balance. The strikeouts kind of come naturally to him. So all of that to be said, yes, he has been just tremendous, and the Braves need him to continue to do that, and I'm fascinated to see, you know, how they manage these innings as we go down the stretch because he's so important. But he also came into the year with 65 professional innings under his belt because when he was drafted, he had to have Tommy John surgery. So it's been an interesting path, a quick path to the big leagues for Spencer Schwellenbach, but he has shown that he is certainly not out of his depth.
Are you concerned about the innings for Ronaldo Lopez as well? I mean, isn't
not
he?
Now.
No, not at all.
No, not now. I feel like had they not just given him this 3 weeks to kind of reset here,
okay,
that there would have been that same thing that I was just talking about where you would kind of let that come in and maybe cloud the thinking a bit on him. But the fact that he went on the injured list and, A, there was nothing structurally wrong with him, but they were able to kind of use that as an opportunity to say, well, why don't we just back off for a minute? And then let you get back out there. And he's come back looking so good, too. So I feel like that may have been just all he needed because it is the most innings he's thrown since 2019. You're absolutely right. So there was some thought of that, but I would think that a 3 week respite there may have just been what he needed to get himself down the stretch.
Grant, we get the outburst of offense last night. Again, Grant McCauley joining us here from the Diamond, his show, his podcast. Make sure you guys check it out. We get the outburst offensively last night. The problem is that the Braves haven't been able to string these together night after night after night. I mean,
yeah.
You know, you can't walk into the clubhouse and go, guys, we need to score some runs tonight. Yeah, they're aware of that. But, you know, it just feels like tonight against a no-name starter, I call him the assassin because he's got three names, Simeon Smith Richardson, whatever his name is. It feels like it's prime for them to have another letdown night. It's just hard to figure out when they're going to click with this whole thing. You know, kind of just expectations, you know, if and when they can start to turn this thing around offensively.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's just kind of gotten to the point where, you know, they kind of are who they are, or to this point anyway. And if I was waiting on that moment where it all clicks and everybody looks the way that they were supposed to, I would have assumed that it has already happened, which is why it's dangerous to assume anything in this game. But this is a team that has had, I've looked at it throughout the course of the year, you know, more talent than the results that they're showing. You know, the ability to do more, but it was missing a Ronald Acuna Jr. and missing an Ozzie Albies and a Michael Harris and a Sean Murphy and now an Austin Riley. So all of these, you know, pieces that they had to fill were one thing. But even when you had some of these guys, they were going through months at a time where they just didn't look like themselves. Matt Olson has been kind of an enigma all season at the plate. He's had moments and he's had some stretches, but it hasn't turned into that consistency. And we're talking about a guy that hit 54 home runs last year and nearly knocked in 140 runs. And until about a week or so ago, or to that trip at Colorado, maybe 2 weeks ago now, he was on pace for about half that over the course of this season. So he's picked it up a little bit, but they could certainly use him going on a heater to help him down the stretch to figure things out. Offensively speaking, Marcell Ozuna has done everything that he can possibly do, continues to do that, and then you lose Austin Riley. So can Jorge Soler step in and start to give you some consistent offense? Can Michael Harris II figure it out? And whatever you get out of the Whit Merrifields and Ramon Laureanos and the Gio Urshelas, you'll certainly take it. Travis d'Arnaud swinging the bat well. Sean Murphy's still kind of searching for it and is kind of on that list of hitters that you expected a lot more out of this year. And they can't do anything about what's already happened, but they can certainly try to, you know, adjust going forward to have the results when they need them the most. And hopefully they're able to. But the question has been all season long, you know, when is it going to happen? When's it going to happen? And I feel like it, at some point at least, had some people wondering, is it ever going to happen? If it happens, then what? for this Braves offense. It's just been completely and totally the opposite of what you expected coming into the year.
Witt's leading off tonight. You want to say anything bad about him, Zeno, while we're talking about it?
No, I don't trust the assassin on the mound for Minnesota.
Okay, just want to make sure. Jorge Soler in right field. The lineup is out, guys. Marcell Ozuna, Matt Olson, Darno, Money Harris. And by the way, the Money Harris injury, any news there? I mean, he's fine, right? It seems like he's fine.
Yeah. Okay. If he's back in there, then I think he's fine.
Yeah. Laureano to Grant's point. Urshela, and then Orlando Arcia playing shortstop. As we take a look at the Twins tonight, what do you think about their starter?
Yeah, I think Simeon Woods Richardson, who does have the hyphenated last name, which does make it a bit longer in the pronunciation, but he's been a nice piece for them this year. I think he's still kind of coming into his own, but he's certainly shown some ability to go out there and to miss some bats and to just be kind of a building block piece for the Twins and give them a little bit of the stability they need in their rotation. So I think the thing is, he has had some blow-ups this year. I say that from just kind of watching him from afar. If the Braves can jump on him early, I mean, Bailey Ober is one of the more consistent pitchers the Twins had over the last 2 or 3 months, and they got to him in the early going and had him as a complete non-factor thanks to the weather in no small part. But I think once you give up 9 runs, you're probably not long for the ball game. But either way, a repeat performance or even just a big first inning like you had last night would be a lot to get the Braves right out in front and maybe put a young pitcher like that on the defensive and force the Twins to run through their bullpen some more.
Grant, you know, defensively, with all the changes that have gone on, it's one of those things that continues to fly under the radar as far as, and I'm not saying that the Braves have been playing bad defense, but, you know, the metrics and everything else we talk about with those things. Have you noticed that they've taken a hit with all the injuries? I mean, are they still...
It's pretty noticeable. I mean, there have been some different times where, you know, whether it's Jorge Soler in right field, even some of the balls that were, you know, hit out in center field in Michael Harris's absence. I thought Jared Kelnick did a pretty good job out there, but it was not a Michael Harris level of performance. Orlando Arcia has been terrific all year long. Austin Riley was really holding it down at third base. But Gio Urshela has come in and played, I feel like, a really good third as well, which was a key, I think, in that whole scenario, was they just didn't have anybody in-house that could help them out there to stabilize that defense because they need it to be doing the things that it's capable of doing. I think Whit Merrifield's been fine at second base. Obviously, he's played most of his career there. So overall, I feel like there have been times, particularly in the outfield, where the defense has not been where you want it to be. But hopefully the return of Harris and plays like he made last night are kind of an indication that that group can also make some plays.
All right, Grant. Great job, man. We appreciate it as always. We will
talk to
you tomorrow, brother.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, man. Good stuff.
He's got 3 names. He's an assassin.
I know. You never know with these things. I just hope these guys continue to hit. That's all I'm hoping. We've been praying like this for rain. It's like we've been praying for rain. Can we hit?
Again, back it up for the second night in a row. You know, it doesn't have to be 10 runs.
No, it doesn't.
4?
Correct.
5? Okay. 4, just don't give me a 2-run effort.
Yeah, I'm with you. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk about the Falcons setting their roster. Cuts came down today at 4 o'clock. We've been talking about it with you. We're going to talk about it with Mark Raimondi from ESPN, who covers the Falcons on a daily basis. Next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.